May the words of my mouth, and may the meditations and thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Good morning, St. Luke's. Welcome to each of you. My name is Pastor Dan, and this morning we are in week 3 of our little series called We Give. In grateful response to God's generosity, we give. We give to God as an act of worship. We give to grow in our own faith. Next week, we're going to look at what it means that we give for others who don't yet know Jesus. And this morning, we're kind of pressing into what it means that we give for the church. There are many ways that we give, but one of the ways we give is with our finances. And so we've got these yellow cards in your news and notes, and they're available in the lobby, and you might have one at home already. We're going to be collecting these next weekend during our Saturday service and both of our services on Sunday morning. There'll be a chance to present this to the Lord as our commitment for supporting this congregation in the next year. And the two reasons we're doing this. One is, as a congregation, we want to be good stewards. We want to be responsible with the decisions that we're making in terms of ministry. And the other reason is we want to give you a chance to reflect on this really critical but joyful way you live out your faith, to give you an occasion to reflect on how it is that you walk by faith with God, with all that you are and all that he's given you. And so if you haven't done so yet, I really, really do encourage you to think about this, to take a look at your life situation this year and to pray about it, to ask God to lead you in that decision. There's a little line on there that says, I would like information about online giving. That's how Charlotte and I give. If you check that box, Terry is going to call you and she'll help you any questions you have about kind of online giving, if you're changing anything, or we're switching over to a new system here, she'll walk you through all that. My kids and I have been talking about this. It's been on our kitchen table, just right in the middle of the table for 3 weeks now, and it's been a conversation piece around our meals, and they don't give online, but my three kids have filled out one of those cards for next year. And so these are private things, and it's not a competition, but I have Titus's permission to share with you. My 4-year-old, he has committed to giving 10 cents every Sunday next year for $5.20 as his annual commitment. And I am seriously proud of this little guy. So we're in this together, from the least of these to the grayest or the baldest of these. Whoever you are, we give joyfully and we get to worship the Lord. And it's a cool way to teach our kids. So to get into God's word now, kind of transition from some of that to where we're going in Scripture, I want to imagine with me that you and I run into each other not at church. So for me, that basically means it's going to be at Costco, because that's the only other place I go. I go to here and I go to Costco. So I'm in line at Costco, and Dave walks by, and Dave says, "Hey, Pastor Dan, how you doing? What have you been up to?" And imagine I have this really weird response to Dave. He says, "What have you been up to?" And imagine I say something odd like, "Well, Dave, that depends on what you mean by the word you." And then Dave would say, "No, how are you? What have you been up to?" And imagine I say back to Dave, "Well, if by you you're referring to my left pinky finger, then it's been a lot of Q and A and Z this week, and besides those three keys, basically nothing. If by you you're referring to my left ring finger, it's been an X here and there and a W and an S and holding on the ring, but besides that, not contributing very much. If by you you're referring to my thumbs, well, it's been a lot of texting this week, Thanksgiving, a lot of family got to connect with, and so lots of text going on, but my right thumb seems to miss more than my left. You have that? The accuracy is way lower on this side. I don't know. Maybe it's just he's been busy clicking away this week, and so he's kind of sore. I got to stretch him out. Now, if I'm in line for my pizza at Costco, and Dave says, "How are you doing?" and I say that, he's going to say, "Okay, bye." And appropriately so, because that's a weird response. It's a weird response on several levels, but I think it's weird primarily because such a response misunderstands the word you. See, the individual parts of me are me. The individual parts of the body are the body. Now they're identifiable, they're different, they're distinct, they've got different jobs to do, but the individual parts of the body are the body. There is no you apart from the various parts of you. And each of your different body parts has a different job to do, but we typically don't talk about what the parts do, we talk about what you do. I don't tell you that my legs and knees and ankles and feet ran a 5K on Thursday. No, I ran a 5K on Thursday. The individual parts of the body are the body. And so we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today. And the occasion that Paul has for writing to the Corinthian Christians is that they misunderstand the word you. That's the occasion for this writing. Now, the substance of the writing, what Paul is communicating to the Corinthians, is the same message he communicates anytime he writes. Paul is bringing to them the message of Jesus. Paul is communicating to them the message of Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we preach Christ crucified. He says in chapter 2, I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So the substance of Paul's message is Christ. But the occasion he has, the reason he's writing to the Corinthians at this time, is that they misunderstood that word, you. See, in English, we have the word you, and I can say, will you get me a cup of coffee? Or I can say, will you stand with me? And we're able, oftentimes in context, to know, is that a one-person you, or is that a group kind of you? But in Greek, and in Hebrew, and in French, and in Texan, they have a singular you, and they've got a plural you, and they're different words. So you can talk about a singular you, and we can talk about y'all. We can talk about you as a singular or all y'all. We can talk about you as a singular or, like in the Northeast, they have yous guys. Yous guys. Oh, yeah. So there's kind of a singular you and there's a plural you. In our kind of Washingtonian English, we just have one word and it gets confusing. And if we think the wrong thing about you, we get into mischief. The Corinthians misunderstood the word you. So St. Paul, when he writes in the New Testament, and Paul writes 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament, when Paul writes in the New Testament, he uses you singular, referring to one person, he uses the word you singular about 100 times. And when he does so, he's typically giving very specific instructions to a very specific person. Like, will you bring my coat that I left there, and will you give it to me when we meet up in Troas, or something like that. So he uses you singular about 100 times, usually to specific people. But Paul uses the plural you, y'all, all y'all, yous guys, y'all, 650 times. And he does so whenever he's talking about the church. So 6.5 to 1, Paul does use the singular, but it's usually specific people. But 650 times he's talking, and when he talks about the church, it's y'all, it's all y'all. The individual yous make up this collective y'all. The individual parts of the body are the body. And this is what the Corinthian Christians were missing. They saw their faith and their expressions of faith and the living out of their faith. They saw their faith primarily, almost exclusively, in terms of this singular. They saw their faith being lived out in isolation from and often in competition with the rest of the body. And so Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body." We were baptized into one body. We were baptized into Christ. Through baptism, we were incorporated. Incorporated literally means brought into the body of Christ. So that Paul can bookend at the end of this section in verse 27, he says, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." And in our English Bibles, we just see "you." We don't know if it's a singular or plural "you," but whenever Paul's talking about the church, you can assume it's a plural "you." He says, "Now you all, y'all are the body of Christ and individual members of it." A primary problem for the Corinthians, and at the very least, a very real potential, a potential problem for Christians today, is when people see the "you" primarily as a singular and overlook and neglect the "y'all," the "us all," the "we all," the "having been incorporated and brought into the body of Christ by the Spirit, all that is the body of Christ." And in the middle section of our reading today, Paul talks about two dangers that occur when this happens. When we overlook or neglect the "y'all" unity in Christ, sometimes it can lead to some people thinking less of themselves. So verses 16 to 20 show us how when we neglect the "y'all" unity in Christ, it leads to some people thinking less of themselves. "I don't do what she does. I don't know as much as he does. I don't get here as often as they do. I can't give in the same way that person does. I don't contribute the way they do. I must not be as important, or maybe important at all, and maybe I don't even belong." And then in verse 21 through 26, we see how when we neglect the "y'all" unity in Christ, sometimes it leads us to think less of others. "They don't do all that I do around here. They don't sing as well as I do. She doesn't know as much as I do. He's not here as often as I'm here. They don't volunteer in the same way that I do. They're not as far along in their faith as I am. They don't see things as clearly and biblically as I do." And as Christians, we would never say they don't matter. We just think maybe they don't matter as much. Maybe they don't belong here in the same way that I naturally belong here. When we neglect this "y'all" unity in Christ, it leads us to think less of ourselves or less of others. And Paul says, this is crazy talk. There's no "they" and "them" in the body. There's no "they" and "them" in your body. It's one. It's just us. We've been brought together in and by Christ. We've been brought together as we've been baptized in and by his Spirit. We've been incorporated through baptism into the single one body of Jesus. There's no "they," it's just us. In Christ, you as an individual and y'all as church belong. Because in Christ, you as an individual and y'all as church received infinite worth and value when Jesus paid for your sins and your freedom on the cross. So that you as an individual and y'all as church, you have hope for life. And not just not just eternal life someday. Although as Christians we have that hope in the resurrection when Jesus comes and the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ will rise, we certainly have that hope that fleshly in our bodies we will live forever because Jesus rose on Easter. But our hope as the people of God is not just this someday, last day in heaven bodily life, but the body of Christ even now lives because Christ is our head and Christ lives. And having been brought into the body, the living body of Jesus, we live today. In the body of Christ, there is no they or them. It's just us. The individual parts of the body are the body. And you, by faith in Jesus, are the body of Christ. And because you are in the body of Christ, because you are the body of Christ, what the body does as a whole, you, as a part of the body, also do. I was bothering Jan this week, as often happens. And I was saying, Jan, I'm trying to say this. And I had to say it like 10 times, and she was just kind of like, I don't know what you're saying. And about the 10th or 11th time, she's like, I think I know what you're saying. And I realized then and there, I might just have to say this 10 times in church for it to sink in. So take a deep breath, sit in, you know, wiggle for a second, hear me. What the body does, you, as a part of the body, are doing. In the same way that your body parts participate in the life of the body, and every body part that you have contributes to the life of the body, just as that same individual body part receives everything that it has from the body, whatever the body does as a whole, you as part of the body are doing because the individual parts of the body are the body. Now, this doesn't mean that every body part does the same thing. You do not want me anywhere over there. This is as close as I get. And many of you would not want to be up here with a microphone. That's back row is great for you. That's great. We are one body with many parts. Now, every part doesn't do the same function, but we're one body. And what the body does, each individual part is part of. So let me speak concretely. When you give for the church, you are blessing the entire body of Christ in this place. When you give for the church, whatever your part may be, whatever your part is in the body, you are doing what the body does. Because you are the body. Are we getting close, Joanna? Close? Okay. Let me make it a little more concrete. When you give for the church, you are teaching Tina and Antonio the faith through our Sunday school curriculum. Because that's what the body is doing. And you as a part of the body are doing what the body does. When you give for the church, you are announcing the forgiveness of sins to guilty consciences through our sound system. When you give for the church, you are feeding God's people the very life-giving presence of Jesus through bland communion wafers and a sip of wine in a plastic cup. When you give for the church, you are putting a roof over the saints, and you are providing warmth from which God's people can gather and pray in peace. When you give for the church, you are making sweet melody and music to the Lord with the instruments that we have in here. When you give for the church, you are powering the crock pots over in the great room around which God's people gather for soup. When you give for the church, you are projecting Bible study content on the screen so that God's people can dig into the bread of life. When you give for the church, you are mentoring the youth and the teens that God has blessed this congregation with. When you give for the church, you are visiting the sick and the hospitalized and the lonely and the infirm through personal visitation. When you give for the church, you are pouring into an engaged couple that wants to enter into Christian marriage. When you give for the church, you are counseling the father whose son has walked away, the mother who has miscarried, or the spouse who's been left to raise the kid all alone because the other spouse has bailed. You are the body of Christ, individual members of it. And as you have received any of those ministries, it's because the body loves you, and you are part of the body. The individual parts of the body are the body. And the body of Christ in this place needs you. And you need the body because that's how bodies work. We're in it together. And we're better for you. We're better because of you. And we, as the body of Christ, have all that we need in our head, Christ Jesus, and he's brought us together. And I want to pray. If you join me. Lord God, you've knit us together into this mystical union in your Son. We thank you that you've called us and you've made us worthy, that you've incorporated us into who you are and what you're doing. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would so work in our hearts that we would have fresh eyes of faith. Lord, I pray that we would see rightly, each of us individually, how we belong to your body. And Lord, I pray as well that through your supernatural working, that we would begin to see more clearly how the people around us are part of the body as well. Lord, it's challenging to live in a sinful world as broken people because we see parts of the body that are hurting. Sometimes it's through their fault, and sometimes it's through the broken world. God, sometimes we see body parts in this church that they don't look like they're working. They don't look like they're doing what they're supposed to do. And Lord, I pray for the faith that would help us to see them as you see them. That when part of our physical body doesn't work right, we don't get mad at it. We have extra mercy. We have extra grace. We're extra tender to the parts that hurt or aren't working right. Lord, so knit us together as your body that we would see one another and ourselves as you see us. That as the body, we would be healthy and whole and alive. Keep us connected into Christ, our head. In his name, may it be so. Amen. Would you stay?